You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Now, February was a good month for physics, not just because it saw the publication of FQXI's first two books, but also because actor Eddie Redmayne won both a British Academy Award and an American Academy Award for his portrayal of Stephen Hawking in Theory of Everything. Congratulations, Eddie.
I like the way that you implied that winning the BAFTA is just as prestigious as winning an Oscar.
If not more so. But anyway, Hawking's early work on black holes is very much at the heart of our next item, which looks at the possibility of finding observational evidence that our understanding of black holes needs to be radically rewritten. To kick us off, I have a question for you, Brendan. Would you rather be stretched out like a strand of spaghetti until you break up into your constituent particles and then get crushed? Or would you prefer to be set on fire?
Is there a third option?
No third option, I'm afraid. One of those two miserable fates are what physicists currently believe would happen to an astronaut unlucky enough to fall into a black hole. But which one is right?
We're still talking about physics. I thought for a horrible moment that you'd been watching the 50 Shades of Grey movie and it had given you strange ideas. But yes, I see. We're talking about the black hole firewall debate. For decades, physicists thought they knew what was going on with black holes, those cosmic objects that form when some stars collapse. At the core of a black hole lies a singularity, a place where the laws of physics break down. Space-time is so curved inside a black hole that anything that approaches too close will be swallowed by it, even light. The point, or rather the surface, of no return is called the event horizon. Once you cross that, there's no coming back. You're doomed to death by black hole.
And the cruelest irony seems to be that if you did cross the event horizon, you wouldn't even notice. Because according to Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity, there's nothing particularly noticeable about this imaginary invisible surface. You would just keep drifting toward the singularity until, well, gravity's effects become too strong to ignore and you're spaghettified. Then eventually your remains would be crushed in the black hole's core.
Or at least that's what physicists thought until a couple of years ago when FQXI members Joe Polchinski and Donald Meroff, along with Ahmed Almeri and James Sully, looked more closely at the situation and came to a startling conclusion. If what we think we know about quantum laws is true, then actually this peaceful, invisible event horizon is replaced with a ring of fire.
On the bright side, at least the pain would be over quicker for the poor burning astronaut.
Physicists have been debating over which gruesome fate is the correct one for some time now. Many are reluctant to accept that firewalls are real because it goes against the predictions from general relativity that the event horizon is no different from ordinary empty space. If only there was some way to just look at a black hole and find out if firewalls are real or not. I mean, without me having to go out there and hurl myself into one. FQXI doesn't pay me enough to do that.
No, they really don't. It's funny you should say that, Brendan, because physicists Niyash Afshoodi and Yasemin Yazdi, both at the Perimeter Institute in Waterloo, Ontario, and the University of Waterloo, have carried out an analysis that suggests that you may be able to find observational evidence of the existence of firewalls by detecting neutrinos here on Earth. In fact, we've already spotted some mysterious neutrinos that could be attributed to black hole firewalls. Now, as I said, the seeds of this firewall debate were first planted by Stephen Hawking when he realised that black holes are not completely black. In the 1970s, he applied quantum mechanics to his analysis of black holes and calculated that, actually, some particles can slowly escape the black hole's grip, in what is known as Hawking radiation. I spoke with Afshoodi earlier, and as he told me, quantum mechanics does not seem to respect the no-escape rule that classical physics says should be imposed at the event horizon.
The classical view is that nothing special happens at the horizon. But what's interesting was quantum mechanics doesn't quite respect the notions of locality and no escape radius that we had from classical relativity. I think the simplest way that this is one way to describe this notion of Hawking radiation is that you could have, in fact, vacuum in quantum mechanics is not empty. There are always fluctuations of vacuum.
A key point here is that according to quantum mechanics, the vacuum is not empty. Instead, pairs of particles and antiparticles are continuously bubbling into existence for a fleeting moment before recombining with each other and disappearing. One way to think about Hawking radiation is to imagine what happens if one of these virtual particle and antiparticle pairs pops up just outside a black hole's event horizon. Here's Afshorty again.
So the particle can fall into the horizon and antiparticle could escape infinity or vice versa. This is in fact something that classically wouldn't happen because vacuum is empty in classical physics. But in quantum mechanics, these things could happen and it gives you a slow rate of evaporation for the black hole because particles can escape to infinity from the neighborhood of black holes. Of course, the energy should be conserved. So the energy or the mass of the black hole should decrease over time. This happens very, very slowly. It takes trillions and trillions of years for astrophysical black holes. But something that could happen in principle for black holes, and this is one of the consequences of this calculation of Hawking, that black holes aren't really black. Things can actually get out.
So if one of a pair of virtual particles falls into the black hole, the other can escape the event horizon as Hawking radiation, causing the mass of the black hole to decrease. Left for long enough, the black hole would eventually evaporate away completely. But this raises another problem. What happens to the information about the matter that the black hole has swallowed?
Hawking realized that this was an important question because according to quantum mechanics, information should not disappear entirely from the universe. There should be some way to retrieve it. Here's Afshorty again, describing what became known as the black hole information paradox.
In fact, this is something that goes back to Hawking himself. So there's this idea of information paradox that, I mean, if something collapses into a black hole, it has information. So it could be a blue star or a red star or a red giant or a natural neutron star. So there could be different types of things that collapse into a black hole. But then it would evaporate through something that looks very much like a thermal radiation. And it was a puzzle what happens to information, because all you get at the end is kind of bland soup of thermal particles that come out independent of whatever that goes in.
As Afshorty explained there, at first, it didn't seem like Hawking radiation could be carrying information out because that radiation was thermal. A hot mess, you could say, without any real structure.
Nonetheless, over the years, physicists did try to work out ways that the Hawking radiation could sneak information out of the black hole, perhaps coded in the relationship, or entanglement, between various escaping particles.
For a while, that approach looked as though it could solve the problem. But when Polchinski, Meroff, Almeri, and Sully looked closely at the situation, they discovered that if information was being smuggled out of the black hole, the process would cause the event horizon to heat up, hence a firewall. There is some debate whether firewall strictly refers to the wall of fire or the computing firewall that protects sensitive information. In either case, it would violate general relativity's predictions. So general relativity would be wrong.
Now here's a funny thing. Physicists already know that general relativity breaks down at the core of the black hole. To describe the tiny but powerful singularity, we need to combine both general relativity, which describes regions of strong gravity, with quantum mechanics, which describes very small things, in one big theory of quantum gravity. So physicists already know that general relativity doesn't work in some places. Why, I asked Afshorty, are they so reluctant to accept firewalls? Is it because it means accepting that general relativity is wrong at the event horizon too?
I think certainly as a sociological statement, it's very true that physicists are not happy, and I think the most conservative amongst us basically want to stick to classical physics as far as we can. That's how physicists are. Physicists are conservative by nature, and they're very skeptical of new ideas until there's really no way out. The fact, though, is we know general relativity is not complete. It's going to fail at some point. But then there is the place where general relativity fails. That's the thing that most people, or the most conservative amongst us, want to limit it to neighborhood of singularity. And the most conservative approach has pros and cons. The pro of most conservative approach is that you don't have to modify your beloved general relativity on larger scales. The con is you have to give up some other principle, either information, whether information is lost or not through the evaporation of a black hole, or other principles that may not be as sacred as preservation of information, but nevertheless are kind of principles that we thought would never be violated in nature. So it's really a choice that you have to make. Some of us want to stick with the old principles, and some of us want to move on.
Right. Okay. So, you know, as you say, there's kind of this choice, you know, maybe we have to give up these ideas that have been built into general relativity, in which case we might accept that there's a firewall, or we say, well, there's no firewall, but maybe in that case, we can't have information being preserved in the way that we feel it should be based on our understanding of kind of quantum mechanics and quantum theory. But I guess, you know, one thing that would be really helpful is if people could just look and see if firewalls were there or they weren't. But for a long time, that seemed to be something that we'd never be able to check. We can't sort of go out there and throw something into a black hole and see if there's a firewall. But now I guess this is where your paper comes in, because you've sort of been thinking about this question in more of a kind of experimental observational way of saying, well, actually, instead of getting stuck in these kind of theoretical arguments of, you know, what choices do I have to make? Which principles do I prefer? Is there some way of seeing or observing whether a firewall is actually there?
Absolutely. So as physicists, we want to ask nature rather than each other what's the right thing to do. So it is a real possibility. And the reason for that is that if you replace this event horizon, this is imaginary surface at which nothing happens, with something, then it could actually light up. And that's basically as simple as that.
So according to Afshordi's calculation, if firewalls exist, they could light up in a way that we could see. To explain how, Afshordi likens the event horizon, assuming that there's something physically there, like a firewall, to Earth's atmosphere being struck by meteors and comets.
So the question then was, could they light up as they hit the fireball? So that's certainly a possibility. There is no reason that wouldn't be the case. And this is something that, in fact, has been tested by one of my colleagues, that it could, for example, a black hole at the center of our galaxy light up as material fall onto it. We actually can see the black hole at the center of the galaxy very well. And the answer is no, it doesn't light up. We can actually look at the stuff that come out of the horizon and we don't see much.
As Afshordi explains, in the case of firewalls, this energy may not be given off only as photons of light, but also in the form of elementary particles known as neutrinos.
There's one thing that you don't necessarily see this in as photons, as electromagnetic radiation. It also could come out as neutrinos, and that was an insight that we had. So in principle, that would be an observational signature. As the material falls into these fireballs, they could light up, and they could emit neutrinos.
So we have these detectors in place, as you say. We've seen neutrinos from a supernova. We have the ice cube detector, you know, in the South Pole that's set up to look for very, very distant neutrinos, or neutrinos that are coming in from very distant sources.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen any possible signs of a firewall yet?
So the answer is that it's possible within a reasonable range of parameters that the neutrinos that we see, the very high energy neutrinos that we see from ice cube. I guess one of the problems with them is that we don't really have a good model to explain them from the usual conventional astrophysics. And if you exhaust all conventional ordinary explanations, then you have to look for exotic explanations like firewalls. But I think right now my only answer would be it's possible. It's a possible origin for these extremely high energy neutrinos that are observed. But there are other possibilities, so I guess we have to wait and see.
When you say that there are other, you know, perhaps more conventional explanations for the neutrinos, what sorts of things might those be?
For example, you could have gamma ray bursts. There could be a supermassive black hole. It could also be just cosmic rays across different galaxies in the universe. These are the kind of possibilities.
Okay, so we have these mysterious neutrinos, and we have sort of a conventional set of possible solutions for them, but none of those quite fit perfectly. Maybe it's firewalls, maybe it's not, but we're going to wait and see.
Right, the proposal is that let's try to see whether there might be neutrinos coming from the neighborhood of horizon. And there might be none, but that also teaches us something about the black holes. And that's the real mystery. These are the most bizarre things we have that currently live in our universe. Let's try to understand them.
So there we have it. Black holes are bizarre, but there may be a way of getting to grips with what's going on by looking for neutrinos coming off of them at detectors on Earth.
And we have already spotted some strange neutrinos that can't easily be explained by more conventional sources. That doesn't mean that they are definitely created by firewalls, but it is an intriguing possibility.
On the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you can read Afshorty and Yazdi's paper. We're also pointing you to a blog post by FQXI member Sabine Hassenfelder, who praises the pair for attempting to relate the problem to observations, but who also analyzes the paper in some depth and questions its relevance to firewalls specifically. And for a popular account of the firewall problem, there's a link to an article that Zia wrote for Nature.
Phew, that took a lot of explanation.
Well, this whole topic is extremely involved and convoluted with lots of twists and turns. Perhaps we should provide an in-depth series of podcast specials, a serial, if you will, explaining the ever-evolving controversies around black holes. If you'd be interested, then let us know by emailing us at podcast@fqxi.org or on Twitter @fqxi.